So today we'll start to kind of see you in one-to-one interviews, assigned interviews. We've put up the list for today. Primarily will happen in the afternoon. And if your name isn't there for today, then we'll see you tomorrow. And of course, if anything feels like it's building up and you benefit from seeing us today, then please let us know. Real reminder, no need to over-prepare. So sometimes there's a sense of, oh, I've got this interview, my mind's going to start going, you know, with that. And just really relaxing that movement. It's just an opportunity to check in with your practice and with being here. So, you know, whatever is relevant when that time comes around, then that's kind of what we'll be exploring. And I know it's easy to say that, and more difficult to work with the mind when it starts going in that way. But it's, you know, we just see it as an opportunity if that's the tendency of your mind. It's an opportunity to just keep putting it down. So I want to begin with just a little overview or recap of kind of what we've covered, what we've explored so far in the practice, and kind of how that can fit in a framework. So, you know, we very much have this thread of GOM, of becoming familiar with our experience, as a kind of a thread that we're following in different ways, getting to know, meeting. We have the what and how of attention that are kind of shaping our experience in any given moment. Yeah, that's another thread that we've been touching on. Where is attention going? What is it going to? And kind of how? What's the way of relating? What's the flavor or the quality, the atmosphere in the attention? We have this attuning, yeah, or gathering to well-being, yeah, when that arises. So we can do that intentionally through the kind of longer breath, if that's accessible to us, through metta practice, through kind of opening the energy body as we were doing yesterday. Yeah, but with whatever practice we're doing, we're kind of listening to that frequency. And kind of the way we would listen to, you know, something in nature. And did anyone hear the owl last night? So there was an owl at some point and kind of like could feel both Nathan and I, like, you know, already in bed. It's like, and then there's that listening. Yeah. Is it going to call again? Yeah, so it's kind of, we're listening to well-being with that kind of sensitivity, the way we would listen to the presence of a wild, you know, creature in our environment, that kind of sensitivity. So there's that thread of the well-being. And when we say well-being, maybe we haven't emphasized this enough, it's this whole range from just, you know, things being okay, yeah, to kind of feeling really, really nice. Yeah. But it's that whole range, or as British people say, not too bad, from the not too bad. I always use this. It makes British people laugh. I don't know if it would make this international community laugh, but when I first came to the UK, you know, as an immigrant, and I would ask people, how are you doing? And they would say, not too bad. And I'd be like, what? What a bizarre way of kind of describing your experience, not too bad. But then kind of with time, I kind of, you know, I don't know if it, anyway, we won't go into British culture, but, you know, it can be from the not too bad, like that whole range. It's actually not negative, it's not unpleasant, to it's really pleasant. So when we talk about well-being, it's that whole range. We want to become sensitive to that. So, yeah, so we've had GOM, we had the what and how of attention. We've got this attuning to well-being in different ways, you know, in that whole range of well-being and experience. You know, we have metta practice as a thread we could follow. We have working with energy, balancing the energy, attuning the energy towards wholesomeness. And we have that whole kind of exploration of kind of attuning more to the wholesome and the not feeding or the letting go of the unwholesome. So these are the different threads of our practice. For some of you, it may be really obvious how they all come together. For others, it might not be. I'm going to put them into a framework in a minute. But before I do that, just to also say, you only need to follow one. So if there's a thread that kind of feels that, this is a rich exploration, or this is an interesting exploration, or this feels relevant to my experience, you can just go with that. Don't worry about the other ones. You don't have to kind of at any moment kind of know how all of them piece together or use them all together. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So what does this look like in our practice? Yeah, let's kind of try and kind of bring it to the ground of our practice. So we have an object and attention. And in our meditation practice, that's an intentional anchor that we're working with. So it would be whatever anchor we feel is most accessible and helpful at a particular meditation period. It might be the breath, might be the body, might be sounds, might be metta. So we have the anchor that listening for the well-being can be an additional. It can be the primary anchor. You know, I'm working with alongside, so I'm working with the breath and I'm listening for well-being. Yeah. And it might be just like a background anchor. I'm doing metta practice, or I'm doing, you know, working with hindrances, and I'm just listening to any well-being that arises. Yeah. So that, but it's also a kind of anchor, because that's the what of attention. The attention is kind of listening for that frequency. And I can already hear the question kind of coming up in some minds. I'm like, is it possible to pay attention to two things at the same time? Yes. Yeah. Maybe not at the same time, but generally to have a kind of awareness. You have the breath and the well-being that's coming with the breathing. You have the metta practice and the well-being that might be coming with the metta practice. So we have, you know, the object, the anchor of attention, and then we have the skillful ways of relating to that anchor. They might be, you know, what we might call the atmosphere of attention: curiosity, interest, care, kindness, you know, generosity. These are all skillful hows of attention, ways of relating to attention. Yeah? So this is our basic practice. This is what we're doing. We've got an anchor, and we're attending to it in three skillful ways of relating. Once in a while, yeah, once in a while, maybe only once during a half an hour practice, maybe twice, our attention will move away from the anchor. That was a joke. Yeah. So once in a while, our attention will move away from the anchor. Yeah. When we notice that that's happened, we can use a framework that we call wise acceptance, which incorporates quite a lot of what we've been doing. So first part, wise acceptance has three parts. It's a list. First part is just acknowledging it's like this right now. This is what's happening. My attention has moved to this pain, or it's moved to this thought, or it's moved to kind of like the restlessness of when will the bell ring. Surely they've fallen asleep up there. After so many years of practice, they must have perfected the skill of sleeping while looking like they're in deep samadhi. Yeah. So anyway, the attention will move somewhere. Yeah. And so the first step is acceptance. It's like this right now. Okay, there's restlessness, there's leaning forward to the bell ringing. Yeah. Or there's that tension's going to pain in the body. It's like this right now. And then sometimes we can spend a little bit longer with, it's like this right now, to get to know it. Yeah, and I'll give some examples in a moment, which will make that clear. The second step of wise acceptance is to remember this experience, whatever it is, pain in the body or discomfort, time seeming to kind of going on forever, whatever it is dependently originating. It's dependent on causes and conditions, including how I'm relating to it right now, including that. That's the second step, is that remembering that. And it's really important to remember. So that's the second part. And then that opens up the third step, which is, what can I do about it? What are some possibilities of response that are open to me right now? Can I change how I'm relating? Can I change what I'm paying attention to? So we're using those modalities. So let's give some examples, because it'll be much easier to understand these three steps with an example. So say there's pain in the body. And, there may be pain in the body, but I'm still, I know there's pain, but it's not pulling my attention too much. I'm still with the anchor primarily, and so I continue with the anchor. I stay with the breath, I stay with the metta, whatever I'm using, the sounds, there's pain, but it's still, there's most of the attention, most of the energy can stay with the anchor. That's always the kind of primary thing that we're doing. If the attention is drawn to the pain and gets fixated on it, which happens, my legs fall asleep. I always point at my right knee, this poor right knee, when I talk about pain. Say my leg has fallen asleep, And it's fixating around it. I notice it's fixated around it, and it's really difficult to take it back to the anchor. Or I move it back to the anchor, and it goes back. So it's building up. This is when I bring in wise acceptance. When I notice a fixating on something. And then that first step, it's like this right now. Acknowledging. That first step, this is gone, and this is kind of wise acceptance. It's like this right now. There's unpleasant sensations happening, and the mind is just sticking to it. That's what's happening. So kind of just acknowledge. And we acknowledge with as much lightness as we can. As much lightness as we can. And we want to get around, to get to know it then a little bit. So we're just like with a few breaths, just what is this like? What are the sensations like? What's the aversion like? You might notice how we've said this, how the attention and the awareness will shrink around the unpleasantness. So we want to kind of see that a little bit. Because all of this is contributing to the dukkha and the experience. It's all contributing to that. And this will help us to remember this is dependently originating. This experience is not as fixed as I'm taking it to be. And so it's shaped by causes and conditions. So we kind of bring that remembrance in. Sometimes we might think, nah, that's bullshit. It's really real. This is really unpleasant. But we just kind of drop that in. Dependent on causes and conditions. And then kind of how can I respond? The third step. Based on that fact, even if we don't fully believe it, that it's shaped by causes and conditions, how can I respond? So then I might apply one of the things we've spoken about. I might bring the breath into that area of discomfort or around that area of discomfort and see what happens there when the breath is flowing down there, coming in and out of that area in the body. Or I might kind of shift and say, okay, here's this painful sensation, our comfortable sensation, and there's like a heart of it, there's a core of it, but what happens if I expand my attention around till I get to the edges? Nathan was talking about it yesterday. So we kind of do that. That's a response. And then what happens if I just rest at the edges? I'm kind of doing that. whenever we've kind of unstuck from that experience, yeah, and something eases in the system, we can go back to the anchor again. But it may be that sometimes it might be the whole meditation period we're just working with that, and we're learning as we're doing that. We're learning as we're doing that. Also, just like with everything else, might suddenly some well-being might open up as we're doing this, as we release some of the resistance and the aversion. And if it does, we want to notice that. We really want to notice that. We want to rest into that. Does that make sense so far? Yeah. So the same thing we could do with any hindrance. Yeah, it can be, you know, with pain in the body. It can be with any hindrance. Say there's restlessness in the body or in the mind. Yeah. Feels like we've been sitting here forever. We're waiting for the bell to ring. The restlessness is building up. Acknowledging it's like this right now. Yeah. It's like this right now. There's restlessness. There's a sense of agitation. Yeah, impatience, maybe. Or we might just say, hindrance. Yeah. Hindrance. Hello. Yeah. Or restlessness. Mm-hmm. So something that just the acknowledgement, this is what's here. And then getting to know, what does it feel like in the body and the mind? And how much space is there? Yeah. So, you know, is it very contracted? Is it more spacious? How much energy is moving around in that system? So I kind of want to get to know. And then that, remember, this is dependently originating. This too, yeah, arises subject to causes and conditions. It's conditioned, shaped by conditions. And so we can respond. Yeah? So we can open the space wider, bigger. We can use the breath, if that's what we're using, to soothe and ground. We can bring metta in. Yeah? All of these are ways that we can then respond to that experience. And we're interested to see any release, any relief, any change that happens, even if it's just for a moment. So all of this is things that we've already kind of been exploring and just putting them into this framework. Yeah, the three steps, wise acceptance, acknowledging it's like this right now, getting to know it a little bit, if that's possible, remembering this is subject to conditions, shaped by conditions, and what available response do I have? How can I respond to this in skillful, wholesome ways? All of this we've already kind of touched on. I'm just bringing in this framework, and hopefully it will be helpful, yeah, for some of you. If it's not, like anything else, you don't need to use it. We can also bring in the lens of Vedana, which is something I touched on at the end of the talk yesterday, so you might not remember, but I'll remind you of it now. We can also bring in that lens as a response to our experience. Okay? So Vedana is a really, really skillful response or way of working to stop the building of dukkha. To stop the construction and the escalation of dukkha, of ill being, and of stress. So, if we, and I remind again how dukkha builds, and we can see that in our experience again and again, there's contact through one of our senses. Yeah. So, the body sense, I feel, you know, an unpleasant sensation somewhere, which I'm calling pain. Yeah. Or the mind sense, I'm feeling restlessness. So there's contact there with something that I, something that's coming through, I'm contacting through one of the senses, and that receives, unconsciously, unintentionally, it receives a Vedana, it receives this categorization. There's three types of Vedana. Again, three. There's unpleasant Vedana, there's pleasant Vedana, and there's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Somewhere in between that big range. So any contact with the world will receive one of these three Vedanas. There's the contact and there's the Vedana, and that starts to escalate. So from the pleasant, it will become, I like this, I want this, I need this. Yeah. I absolutely cannot continue on this retreat without this. Yeah. It becomes this like process of escalation, and the more escalated, the more dukkha there is. Yeah. With the unpleasant, yeah, unpleasant sensation in the body. I don't like this. Yeah. I don't want this. Yeah. I have to get rid of it. I can't carry on meditating with this. Yeah. And so like more and more aversion that builds up. Yeah. And more demand on our experience to be a particular way. Yeah. With the neither nor, yeah, neither unpleasant nor pleasant Vedana, yeah, which is sometimes spoken of as neutral, but actually the words used by the Buddha and in the teachings, neither nor, is actually more precise, but it's a big mouthful. So you can also use neutral, or I sometimes call it the uneventful Vedana. Yeah. There's not enough there to pull our attention, and that's when we tend to space out, to get bored, yeah, or to kind of disappear from our experience, lose contact with it, yeah, which is another form actually of dukkha. So, yeah, we'll put up a sheet with this as well. If it feels like too much for your brain to kind of contemplate right now, it's also okay to put it down. Yeah? But we're interested in Vedana because it can be what I sometimes call the get out of jail card, the get out of Dukkhaville card. Yeah? When we notice, you know, like in games of Monopoly, yeah, when we notice it, or when we bring attention to it and we are able to just stay with that level. So at the level of unpleasant, there's not much drama yet. Or at the level of just pleasant, there's not much drama yet. There's not much suffering, yeah, in that stage of the process. And so it can be a real relief to be able to bring attention there. Another way we sometimes speak of Vedana, just to kind of bring another angle to it, is we speak about it as a kind of immediate niceness opinion that we have about life. This is nice, this is not nice. Yeah. This is neither nice nor not nice. Yeah. And there's always this subtext for me, yeah, which is part of the dukkha building as well. Yeah. Self-referential. So Vedana can really help us to get closer to our experience and to reduce these habits of push-pull, you know, trying to grab onto what is pleasant and to hold on to it, trying to push away what is unpleasant, or kind of disconnecting, you know, from what isn't particularly pleasant or unpleasant, you know, just kind of zoning out, not being in touch with it. And really helpful to remember two things about it. It happens subconsciously, so we're not trying to stop it. Yeah, not trying to stop it. We're actually just trying to use it skillfully, in a skillful way. It happens subconsciously, and our minds will tell us that the Vedana is in the object. Yeah, you know, they'll tell us that meditation cushion is pleasant, or whatever it is, you know, that soup that we had yesterday, or, you know, whatever it is, that sunshine that we had at the beginning of the retreat, you know, that it's in that object that is pleasant. Yeah, it's there, but actually it's not in the object, it's in our own heart and mind. Yeah, this is the importance of this. Yeah, not in the object, because Vedanas change, and that's something that we can see. Yeah, when we practice, and we can also already see it in our experience. Yeah, we might think, oh, I really like sunny days. Yeah. So, do you remember the heat wave a few weeks ago in Europe? Remember that? Did you like it every single moment? No. Yeah. So the Vedana changes. It's dependent, like everything else. Yeah, dependent on causes and conditions. Yeah. So it's not in the object. It's not in the sunny or not sunny. It's not in the, you know, just the right amount of salt in the porridge or not. Yeah. It's not in that. Because that changes. It's not fixed. So the get out of jail card of Vedana practice, and I'm gonna I will go into a practice in a moment, is really in that capacity to just say, ah, unpleasant is just unpleasant. So this sensation in the leg, yeah, or this temperature, it's just unpleasant. We just stay with that unpleasantness, or it's pleasant. We stay with that pleasantness, or it's neither nor. Yeah, and we stay with that. And as we do that, yeah, we might see how the dukkha in the experience kind of drains out. Nathan sometimes uses this image of, like, when you fill your, you put your, the plug in the sink and you fill it with water, and then you take the plug out and all the water goes out. That's what happens to the dukkha. Yeah. Just drains out of the experience when we can stay with that level of Vedana. And of course, there's also additional possibilities that we can then bring. Yeah. Something's unpleasant, we can bring compassion to it instead of rejection and aversion. If something's pleasant, we can bring appreciation to it instead of clinging and grasping. Yeah. So we have other possibilities that we can bring to it. But the basic Vedana practice is also just recognizing the Vedana and seeing what happens when we do that. Okay, so let's take this for a spin. Let's try it out. If it's helpful to kind of stand up and sit down again, or change your posture, or stretch any part of the body, then please do. We'll have about 25 minutes for practicing. When you're ready, start settling into your posture. And kind of as you're settling into your posture, the gong can already be humming along, checking in with how the body, the heart, the mind are doing. And that curiosity, that interest. And as we settle into the posture, to make any adjustments that may be supportive and helpful. And seeing if the body can feel as supported and stable and balanced as possible. So we can check in and see if there's a finding the middle point between leaning forward and resting too far back. Finding the balance of uprightness and ease. The alignment of the back. In the torso. The most appropriate placement of the hands. Inviting, allowing the awareness, the attention to come fully and deeply into the body. If feeling the points of contact between the body and that which supports the body, ground, the seat. And then opening, stretching, expanding awareness to the whole body. This can be kind of stretching feeling of the opening, like a balloon opening out or stretching a pizza dough through the body. Can be a more gentle softening and opening through the body. Notice what's appropriate for you as you invite the awareness to open, expand through the body. So that the awareness fills the whole space of the body. There's a sense of the whole body here. And the awareness can stretch, expand, open even more beyond the body, feeling that bubble or cocoon or orb of awareness surrounding the body and filling the body. Throughout the practice, just keep coming back to opening the awareness. In this way, a little bit larger than the body, containing the body, filling the body. And it will naturally shrink, become smaller, and when we notice that, we can open it out again. Gently remembering, dropping in the remembrance practice as an act of kindness and care. That's our intention. Whatever way that unfolds for each of us. An opening to feel what would be the appropriate anchor for you right now, for this period. Might be the longer breath, body, sound, metta. Whatever feels appropriate. We'll take a little bit of time in silence to establish tension with the anchor, to settle into the practice, each in our own way. Gently noticing what you notice. If the anchor is still primary in attention, continuing to deepen with it. Background, also listening to any well-being, or there's already a degree of well-being, then including that in what you're attending to. If there's a distraction that's quite persistent, just bring in that wise acceptance framework. Just acknowledging it's like this right now. And just for 2 or 3 breaths, getting to know it, feeling into it, whatever the this is. How is it appearing? Remembering, reminding, recollecting. This is conditioned, dependently arising. Depends, shaped by the way of looking. And opening to see what are possibilities of response. You can respond through the anchor of attention, through playing with the energetics or the space, the breath. It's metta. You can also just gently note the Vedana of the experience and stay with that Vedana as a way of de-escalating. Whatever way we're attending, gently listening for how the experience may change as we relate to it differently. Noticing any degree of release or relief that comes with that, the impact of the way of looking that's changed. Resting into any release and relief. So we're letting go of habitual ways, pushing away or holding on. And we're bringing in skillful ways to attend with kindness, with care, with wisdom to that which is unfolding. When the degree of dukkha goes down, or kind of pull of whatever it was that was pulling our attention, and that pull reduces, coming back to the anchor, continuing to attend to the anchor, curious to see any well-being that arises, any ways that we can attend to the anchor that support more well-being to be sensed. For the last 5 minutes or so of the practice, if you wish, just gonna become a little bit more familiar with the Vedana practice. So, with the anchor that you're already using, just noticing if there's any aspect of the hearing or of the breath or of the metta that feels pleasant to some degree. If there isn't, you can widen out to more of that sense door, so maybe to the whole body or in the sensations in the body or to the whole soundscape. And the pleasantness might be the silence around the sounds, or it might be the space within the body. It can be quite subtle. Attuning to anywhere, anything that feels pleasant, and staying just with that layer of the experience, just that initial pleasantness. And the attention is quite spacious and grounded and quiet. Just staying with that pleasantness, and if that Vedana changes or actually the object changes, maybe disappears, we can bring attention to something else that feels like it arises with a pleasant Vedana. And now shifting the interest somewhere that feels mildly unpleasant. And then maybe somewhere in the body by now that's got some tension in it. And bringing the attention to that area or place or appearance. Staying just with that sense of unpleasant. That's all it is. And staying close and spacious. Acknowledging that unpleasantness of the Vedana. Without making anything more out of it. Just unpleasant. Noticing if there's any impact of this way of practicing, particularly any well-being that arises, release, relief, ease. Resting into that for the last few moments, letting go of the Vedana. I just wanted to kind of give you a little taste of just staying with the Vedana as a practice at the end there. And you may have noticed we only did the pleasant and unpleasant because we ran out of time. But the neither nor can be a very, very interesting place to be. Yeah. So just noticing, you know, places that we don't usually notice, the inside of the elbows, the earlobes. Yeah. They all have a Vedana, and we can just start to notice that. It can actually become a place that's actually quite restful because there's not so much of that push-pull going on. And again, if it doesn't make any sense, just leave it for now. And there will be a sheet up with some more reminders around Vedana. If you haven't noticed, we've been putting some written things up by the on this glass cabinet by the front door. So kind of with this little review of the walking practice and how to bring this in to the walking. So a reminder, you know, helpful to start with standing and kind of the way we're doing in the sitting, also with the standing and the walking, expanding the awareness to the whole body. That's something that is accessible for you. And so we're kind of tuning into the energy body more, what we call the energy body, the subtle body, this whole body awareness. And then the anchor could be that whole body as it moves, the whole body moving. It could be the feet in contact with the ground. It could be metta. It could be sound. It could be, if it's more simple for you and you work with the breath, in the sitting to also do that in the walking. So all of those are possible anchors. And we're still continuing also with that emphasis, that listening for any well-being that's arising as we practice. But any degree, just not ill-being, is already a degree of well-being that we're opening to. And if or when distractions arise persistently, just like in the sitting, we can bring in this wise acceptance framework, recognizing it's like this right now. I have a real urge to go in and get a cup of tea. Whatever it is, that restlessness. Ah, it's like this right now. This is restlessness. Remembering this is conditioned. This too is conditioned. What would be a skillful response? So those three parts, bringing those in to the walking as well, and then, you know, bringing in a skillful response, maybe standing again, opening, widening the awareness, grounding in the contact with the earth, noticing beauty, noticing the Vedana, any of those could be a skillful response to support us. And if you resonate with the Vedana practice, or some of you may already know it, feel free to bring that in more, just like we did at the end, just going through you know, particular sense door, and just noticing the Vedana, you know, in the hearing, in the body, you know, or if you're walking in the seeing, you might use that as well. Right. The last thing to say is, you know, that we're now kind of really in the heart of the retreat, as I mentioned yesterday. So one thing we want to open up for you, if you'd like, and just really notice if it's supportive or not, is you might kind of start to adapt the schedule a little bit to what's fruitful for you. Yeah. So like right now, this morning, now we have these half hour sessions, and you might feel that actually it's beneficial for me to sit longer or to walk longer. Yeah. So here in the hall, we'll still stick to those half hour sessions, but you might say, you know, walk for an hour, come back in what is, according to the schedule, the next walking period and sit, yeah? Or you might do half an hour of walking now, come back here for the sitting, and then stay longer into the walking. Yeah? Does that make sense? So you may kind of choose to do that, and we have these sections both in the morning and in the afternoon where you can do that, where you can adapt the schedule a little bit, and without any sense of pressure. It's not like you're doing better if you can practice for longer periods of time. It's just noticing for yourself what would be fruitful. Sometimes actually, you know, practicing for longer, a longer period allows the mind to settle more. And so that might be kind of where you're at right now, or something you might want to try. But equally, if it feels like the schedule is really supportive and just not needing to think, do I want to do this or do I want to do that? Just stick to the schedule. And allow that to hold you and support you. And that's what we'll be doing in the hall. All right. Onwards. Let's keep practicing. And yeah, see if we can open to any well-being that comes with it.